So here we are. If you take part in a choir in Labrador or anywhere else in the province, or a band, or an orchestra, the provincial government has released a detailed set of guidelines for group singing and playing during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, there's a lot to cover, from numbers of people, to sanitizing, to ventilation and social distancing. It's going to be a challenge. I reached two musicians who are also music educators with a lot of experience in community music making to talk about this. Valerie Long is the artistic director of Les Mis Women's Choir, the Holy Heart Alumni Choir, and the Let's Make a Choir project. Grant Etchegaray is the artistic director of the Kalos Youth Orchestra in St. John's, and before that he had a long career as a music educator in the school system, and I reached both of them yesterday. Hello, Valerie.
Hi, Heather.
Hello.
Hello, Heather.
Hello, Grant.
Hi, Heather.
So, both of you, I know, have between you many decades of experience as musicians and music educators and community music organizers. Gotta ask both of you, how much of a challenge has 2020 been for both of you in what you do?
For me, one word, brutal. just starting in January between Snowmageddon, and then of course the onset of the pandemic, you know, it has made things extremely challenging for us. Brutal is a way to describe it for sure.
Valerie, how about you?
Well, you know, ditto to that, what Grant just said, because we do have to mention Snowmageddon because we missed so many rehearsals and performances throughout all of that, and then we finally got our footing, and then boom, it all blew up again in March, and it's been a real struggle and a real challenge, not only for us professionally, but for our links to the community, and that's kind of all been swept out from underneath us, and so it affects you, you know, physically, mentally, psychologically, and we've had a really tough time.
Yeah. Now I've had a good read through of the new provincial government guidelines, and I know both of you had as well. And it's a lot going on there. Like, I'm just wondering, how much of a surprise were these guidelines to both of you?
So we have essentially been watching very carefully, you know, what others have been doing, and seems like across the continent, you know, there are various interpretations of things. I know for our orchestra and like many things in Newfoundland, you know, we've tried to be innovative, but I know of places across the country, you know, professional symphony orchestras and youth orchestras, you know, have determined that they just can't operate under these kinds of protocols. So they've just basically gone on hiatus until a time when it's supposedly safe to come back and perform.
This was completely, for me, out of the blue. I wasn't expecting anything to come through about choral singing and instrumental playing because we have been all working diligently all through the summer to try and come up with an alternative plan to go online and all of that. So I'm still kind of digesting what has come out. It's taken so long to put in place some of the initiatives that we're working on to carry on online and so on and so forth. And when I look at the guidelines that have been released, it's going to take a while for us to sit down and really go through it and figure out if and when this is going to be suitable for the different organizations that I'm working with, because I have large numbers in some of these choirs, and understandably so, they have real strict policies in place that have to be adhered to. And I think the key word is safe. It may take a while for us yet to understand how we're going to adapt to it.
Grant, even rehearsal spaces, a lot of community groups use schools and public institutions and stuff. Like, just tell me about some of the concrete challenges you're going to have to look at here.
Oh, my Lord. There's lots. You know, as you mentioned, you know, facility is a major problem. I mean, we have our rehearsals and concerts at the Munn School of Music. And as people might know, Memorial University has gone exclusively online, particularly, at least now for the fall, and who knows what's going to happen into the future. So that means that, you know, we have to try to find a facility outside and a place that's willing to host our organization. Mm-hmm. That in itself is very difficult. But, you know, there's also things that you have to consider, such as, like, the, just the strain on like, family finances at this particular time. You know, they've had to prioritize, mm-hmm. you know, or even cancel these additional activities, you know. And, like I say, it's not only just because of the financial part, but also the health concerns. And the whole idea of attracting new members, you know. People are, you know, waiting to see how things are going to unfold. And it's, you know, the longer we're, you know, in a hiatus, which we're not, you know, we're still going to have an online presence, and we're trying to do things that, you know, we normally wouldn't have time to do in group rehearsals. And hopefully we can use this time, you know, to best to try to improve, you know, the individual experience of this, you know, collaborative enterprise. That is, you know, singing or playing in a group. I mean, that's where the rush is, you know. I mean, it's being together as a group and making music together. You know, unfortunately, you know, physics does not allow us to do that over video conferencing. So we're kind of stuck, you know, and just hoping that people will maintain a presence and an interest.
And I know, Valerie, in the provincial government guidelines, they're talking a lot about plexiglass barriers and using, you know, tablets to read your musical scores and stuff. Like, how feasible is that for community groups?
That is a challenge. And fortunately for my organizations that I'm involved with, we use original music. So they all have their own individual copies and, you know, they or their iPads. But plexiglass and all of that is a whole nother animal to try and figure out the physicality of bringing all of these people into a room together where you're going to have the ventilation and the high ceilings, and we have to go outdoors every 30 minutes.
And also, it's extremely expensive to implement all of these things. And, you know, community groups just don't have it. I mean,
right.
it's I really appreciate all the hard work that everyone has put in to try to find ways to actually make this happen. But, you know, realistically, you know, it is very expensive to implement. The arts runs on a shoestring budget,
right,
as it is. And, I mean, to have to do instigate these protocols is very, very costly.
And the thing is, when you look at the children and the young adults that Grant has in his group and some of the younger people and the, in quotation marks, older people that I have in my choirs as well, I mean, they're when they saw this, I'm sure yesterday, everybody's clicking their heels and saying, oh, this is great that we're going to get back together. And, you know, the caveat has to be there that it's not as easy as just, okay, we're allowed to do this, put your masks on, we're going to get together next Monday. This is going to take a while, and we have to see how it's going to play out. And I think that it's great that the people who are missing the camaraderie and the friendship of coming together in song are saying, well, you know, this might be feasible for us. And so I'm, like Grant, totally happy and totally respectful of the process that has been put in place. I just... I'm cautiously optimistic.
Grant, I got to ask you about something. We've talked a lot about on the air about choirs and singing airborne particles. Anyone who's ever played a wind instrument in an orchestra or band knows that there's a lot of spit.
There is. And
there's,
you know,
a lot of spit.
That spit is condensation, and it's not necessarily spit, you know, but anyway, let's not get into the science of it. But you're absolutely right, particularly with brass players, you know, have to empty their instruments and such. People have come up with some really clever ideas, either using a bucket or like a bean bag. I've heard that of being used to help with that particular situation. But, you know, the string players are in pretty good shape because of the fact that they can wear a mask and still play and not have to worry about, you know, aerosol transmission through a room. But for, as you say, you know, the wind players, it's another issue. So, yeah, we have to keep that in consideration. And, you know, the orchestra is probably one of the most difficult. It's so diverse in the colors of the sounds of the mm-hmm. different instruments, and it's tough to try to address all the idiosyncrasies associated with the instruments to make sure, you know, that it is it's safe for everybody to be together.
What have you both got planned for your groups for this year? Grant, what is the Kalos Youth Orchestra going to look like this fall?
Well, at the moment, we have been planning all summer, very busy. We're going to wait and see. You know, we have developed what we hope is an engaging online presence, you know, for the time being. And, you know, I think one of the things that we can take at this time as something that's positive is that, you know, in a large rehearsal situation, you know, there are lots of things that we don't have time to address. When we tell kids or anyone, go home and practice, it's a difficult thing to do. It's and, you know, learning how to practice effectively. We're introducing, you know, some online, you know, activities and technologies to assist students in that. Because that's very, very important. You know, I mean, practice, individual practice and preparation is critical to the success of any collaborative organization. But at the same time, you know, we've got a number of guests that are going to come in over video conferencing. You know, we're going to have, you know, weekly sessions with our students. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to, the guests will be able to bring, you know, some insight into things that really, you know, during the year we would not have an opportunity to discuss and consult with these people.
So you're going to be online for the fall anyway?
For the fall, we're keeping a good eye out. You know, we're looking to see if we can get back together. But, you know, we have a number of parents who are very concerned, and thankfully a lot of them are from the medical profession, and they're going to be helping us out in establishing a plan. And plus, if we have to go into another facility other than MUN, you know, like a community hall, I mean, they also have protocols in place as well. So we have to please them, you know, making sure that all of these things are there. In terms of, you know, cleaning, you know, the facility between rehearsals, only allowing, you know, students to actually play for a half hour in a rehearsal, it's really, really tough. Our rehearsals are 3 hours long on Sunday afternoon. But, you know, we're gonna do our best.
Valerie, how about your choirs? What are you going to do for the fall?
The Beaux Les Mis and Holy Heart Alumni Choir are not-for-profit organizations. And one of the things that we're understanding over the past few months is there are so many charities in the city that are losing out on people like us fundraising for them. So we are currently online with learning new music and continuing music from last year, meeting that way, and also through just Zoom meetings, just talking about some of the music that we're learning. But Les Mis and Friends Sing for Care, which is, we've been doing now for many years, we're going to do a virtual retrospective of choirs from previous years that will be online, so that people will be able to donate to the Bliss Center that way. The same thing, we're going to continue on with a virtual Mummers Run that people will be hearing more about, and that's in November. We're going to do a Christmas concert that will help out with St. Vincent de Paul over at St. Teresa's, and just continue right now online learning new music and monitoring how this is all going to play out with the possibility of us coming back together in person, keeping in mind everything that Grant just underlined. So we're keeping our spirit, we're keeping our community within the choirs alive, and they're just wanting to get back together.
We got to end it there. So Valerie Long and Grant Etchegaray, thanks so much, and best of luck sorting it all out.
Thanks a million, Heather, and all good wishes to you, Grant. Good luck. We'll fight the good fight together.
We'll fight the good fight, Valerie. Yes, thank you very much, Heather.
That's great.